We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I mean, what do you expect? It's just so many things.
That's what you get with wet balls.
The wet balls are bad for some things.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, a Friday Fives edition. It's getting really freaking tired.
Strange. It's just everything is close, and it seemingly never ends well. With the occasional, here you go. Here's a little bit of a gift. You guys have been suffering for the last week. Here's something. Just and even those carrot. Are just like. Your it's gift isn't good
little,
enough.
It's just your, a little carrot. Scott,
your gift isn't good enough. You're re-gifting the same shit to us over and over and over again.
This team has been dangling a carrot in front of our eyes pretty much the whole season. And yes, put out a graphic at some point this week, titled Roller Coaster Season. And the records are just insane. They went 5-10 and then 23-9. And then 5-13, and then 7-2, and then 1-7, and then 35-11. That's when we thought the season had finally actually turned around, because that's a significant sample size that they went 35-11. And then they
Good teams win 13 games in a row. That's why also. Usually good teams win 13 games in a row.
Right. It culminated with the 13-game win streak. And then what have they done since? Well, they were 4-12 as of this graphic, and now I believe they are 5-13 since this graphic aired. It's just, it's the carrot. It's like, oh yeah, we'll play well for 4 games, and then we're going to get swept by Toronto. Oh yeah, we'll win 13 in a row, and then we're going to go on a losing streak. Oh yeah, we will lose a series to Baltimore, and then we will be one Brett Gardner bloop single away from losing another series to Baltimore.
Or you could phrase it in a way, one catch of a bloop single away from losing 2 of 3, because we'll talk about this later, but
we will.
There are so many people on Twitter after I tweeted something from Bronx Pinstripes. I said something about, oh, P.S. Kleber was damn lucky for that ball falling. And the amount of people that were like, oh, great base running. The read was phenomenal. Give credit where credit, even Rich, Rich even tweeted out, give credit where credit is due. Come on, guys. Like, this man looked back three times, you know, before he even got to third base. He didn't even look. He just ran.
He just ran. He's completely
I don't think he knew,
the baseball field.
I know Michael Kay talked about, like, maybe he didn't know the how many outs there were. I don't think that's actually true. I just think he's that bad of a base runner where he just took off. Okay, there was no read.
Yeah, there's no thinking.
I would give credit where credit is due. If there's credit due, there was no credit due. He got lucky as shit. He almost cost him the game. If that ball is caught, he's doubled up and the game's over.
Right. If it is Brett Gardner or Aaron Judge who makes that play, we're like, you know what? Heads up base running. They made a judgment call and they were right.
Well, when someone tweeted Gleyber
Torres.
Someone tweeted at us that we would say that if that were Judge or somebody else, we would be like, heads up baseball.
Yeah, because those are heads up players.
Let me tell you something though. In that particular play, those guys wouldn't be doing that. That's
true.
The
they would have gone halfway.
They wouldn't be doing that. There's the rub. You're right, because we wouldn't say that because they wouldn't be doing that. They would wait to make damn sure at that ball, and they wouldn't round third. The Yankees don't score that run when a good base runner's on the base pass. They got lucky. That has to be known.
Sometimes mistakes work out for you. A lot of times the mistakes don't work out for you.
It's like,
so.
No. Yes, that's fine. It worked out great. We can celebrate that it worked.
Just because you hit in blackjack when you already have 18 and the dealer's showing 16 does not mean it was a smart move just because you get a 3, okay?
It's funny you bring that up, because when we were going through the Friday fives, 5 look backs, 5 look aheads, I'm in my head thinking, you know what? We can do this. We can look ahead. We can look back. We can do these 5 things, which we have. But at the end of the day, at this point on September 17th, when we are closing out a 20-game consecutive game, it's not a streak. What's it called? Just a consecutive game.
Final games
schedule,
of the season.
Schedule batch that they had. But then they have Cleveland and they have Texas, and then they go through the gauntlet at the end. This is gambling. That's what this is. This is all gambling, because it's either the Yankees are going to show up on a given day and hit the ball really hard and score a bunch of runs and they might win the game.
When have they done that?
I'm just saying, it's gambling. They did it during a 13-game winning streak.
Okay, yeah, sure. So
hot.
Fine.
They were hot.
If the plan is stumble your way into the wild card game and hope that you go on one of those 11-3 stretches and not 3-11 stretches, then fine. Great plan.
No. You can't stumble into the wild card game unless you do that. So you wouldn't be actually – they can't stumble into the wild card game. They can't.
You're right. Because they did win they won 3 out of 4 games this week. If you start with the Monday game against Minnesota to Thursday's game, they won 3 out of 4 and they lost ground.
Wait, they lost 2 to Baltimore. I'm sorry, they won 2 to Baltimore. My bad, never mind. I'm thinking
it feels like
lost.
A loss. They won
really
3 out of 4.
I think I just talked myself into that bloop being caught and then doubled
up. It's like your brain just glitched. Like you were looking at me like
I was looking at you like I started to sprout
another fucking eyeball out of my forehead.
I was like, you're a moron. You can't count. They lost 2 of 3 to Baltimore. What's wrong with you?
It feels like they lost 2 out of 3.
I definitely just talked myself into the fact that ball
and they beat Minnesota, and when they started this week, they were tied for a wild card spot, and now they are out of a wild card spot. So they somehow lost ground this week, even though they won 3 out of 4 games. So you are right. They cannot stumble their way into the wild card. You have to actively win games. We said at the end of last podcast, you need to sweep Baltimore, then you need to take 5 out of 6 games against Cleveland and Texas, because the games against Boston, the games against Toronto, the games against Tampa are not going to be easy. And that's not what they've done so far. And they're probably not going to win 5 out of 6 against Cleveland and Texas because they're not a good baseball team.
So it really just depends on that day. If the cards are right, if you hit and the dealer busts, like basically the dealer has to bust a number of times as well for that to happen too. Because, and we're going to talk about what the pitching staff looks like and let's just throw out Friday Fives.
I need to say something before we start this.
I'm sorry. I know a lot of Yankees fans are Giants fans, and I feel for you. I do, because the Giants feel like they're doing very similar things to the Yankees as the Yankees, and that's just unfortunate. I'm a Jets fan, as I've made well known, but I've never had anything against the Giants. I've always pulled for the Giants. I've never had, like, for whatever reason, that's never been a rivalry for me. So I feel for you, but I will say this. I am rocking my ODU OG shirt right now, Old Dominion University, for my guy Taylor Heinicke, and I'm sorry he beat you last night, but he is the every man, every single person in this world should be rooting for this guy. He is he's so much fun to watch. I had the pleasure and the privilege to watch him in college, and it was a lot of fun with a new program, and he took a program from zero to on the map, and they have been dog shit ever since he left. But he's just fun to watch, man. The kid's always had the moxie. He's always got it. He never had the real like arm for the NFL, but he's got that it factor. So I'm happy to see him do well. That's it. I tweeted that he was elite last night. I was you know, being a little facetious here, but he's my guy, so I'm happy for him.
Oh yeah, if you're a Yankees fan, you're, like you said, you're likely a Giants fan, and you're probably a Knicks fan because pretty much everyone in New York City is a Knicks fan. And for a while, it was like, well, the Yankees at least are on the right track. The Giants, who the hell knows? And the Knicks are a disaster. And
there's
like
a lot of Jersey Yankees fan that grew up as Nets fans as well. So there's a lot of Nets fans.
Okay, but whatever it is, it's like, well, the Yankees have just completely smashed all hopes and dreams that we thought this team was going to be going to win multiple championships. But one thing I want to mention, so in you we'll talk about Glaber in a second, but Thursday's meltdown. The ninth inning with Holmes. I mean, I know the bullpen is completely shot. Chapman had to pitch 3 days in a row, and he actually looked better than he has in a long time.
He looked really good. He looked really good.
It's ironic.
It was one of the cleanest innings he's had in a long time.
They avoid like the plague pitching relievers 3 days in a row, and then they finally had to do it. And oh, what do you know? He had like a 9-pitch inning with no scaries.
It's baseball season.
Clay Holmes is pitching, and it had been basically downpouring from the fourth inning through like the seventh inning. So the field was terrible. The balls were probably wet, as we talked about at the top. And he's wild, but Gary Sanchez just can't catch the ball.
He's airmailing sinkers as well.
I know that, but the one that Gary Sanchez caught up and in, thought it was in his glove, which allowed the runner to advance from first to second. That ball you just need to catch, okay? That's just... You need to catch that ball. And at the very least, you can't pause for 2 seconds and think you caught the ball when you didn't catch the ball. So that's the first thing that allowed the runner to advance, which eventually allowed him to score. The wild pitch to score the runner from third is definitely a wild pitch. But at the same time, you called a fastball. Be ready for the fastball. His reaction time, Gary's, to that was as if he called a curveball and then got a fastball. That's not what happened. He didn't get crossed up. Yeah, that's a ball that I'm not saying he absolutely should have caught. It's a ball that a good catcher, you don't even have to be a great catcher, a good catcher catches.
I guess. I'm not. It was a terrible pitch. It was a terrible pitch. Was he setting up low and inside? He was setting up down in the zone. And the ball was not only up and away, but it was like rising out of the way too. It's like it just slipped out of his fingers and it was just like, it was gone. So I'm not putting a ton on Gary there. I will shit on Gary anytime you want me to. I on his defense with no problems, but a lot of that was on Clay Holmes. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that he couldn't grip the ball and it was just an unfortunate situation. And you could feel it coming. You could feel it coming, and it was shitty because the next pitch, strike. That's it, done.
And then in the 10th inning, Baltimore is telling the Yankees, we're going to bunt the ghost runner over to third base. Rizzo's basically playing on top of home plate. He's like 45 feet from home plate. And the Yankees still cannot do anything.
Well, they bunted it down the third baseline because Urshela was holding at third. I don't quite understand that play. So if there's a runner on second, no runner on first, no force at third, you're playing for the tag at third base? That's what you're playing for? Or are you playing for the out at first base?
No. Of course they're going to bunt to third base. That's the only play in that situation.
I understand that, but on the defensive side, Urshela stayed home. He was told to stay home. so that the pitcher could come off the mound and field the ball at the third base.
Yeah, you're playing for the tag play. Yes.
You're playing for the tag. That means someone's got to spin and turn and throw and tag.
That's the play, though. That's why it's difficult. But the defense, that's the play. That's the only bunt the offense can make, and that's when the first baseman is playing on top of home plate, and that is the play that the defense is playing for. And yes, the guy executed the bunt perfectly, but it's just like, when's the last time the Yankees executed a bunt perfectly, first of all? And it's like, okay, we know exactly what's happening, and the Yankees still cannot stop it. It's like, of course they cannot stop it. The Orioles, who
you're
are
saying
at
they can't
99
stop it.
Losses.
Hold on, you're saying that they can't stop it, but in the way that the defense was laid out in that particular play, it was executed to perfection. You cannot stop that play. The third baseman is staying home. The ball was bunted past the pitcher. Pitcher does not field that ball because it's beyond him. Rizzo has no play. He's not there. The bunt was perfect.
It was perfect. I don't know. You know he's bunting. You did the spin move to show that he was bunting. Throw a pitch at his neck. I don't know. Don't throw a pitch down the middle and allow him to bunt it right down the third baseline.
Okay, but given the defensive setup, the bunt was executed to perfection.
Yeah,
so
it was.
Not much
it's
you
just
can frustra- do on that
I guess I'm just frustrated because the team that has 99 losses out-fundamentaled and out-executed the Yankees.
Yeah, it was a good bunt.
And then would you have played the infield back with one out and bases loaded for a double play? Not that that ground ball chopper would have been a double play anyway, but they had the infield in so that ball leaked through. But it's like, do you play the second baseman and the shortstop back to try and get a double
play?
I'd probably
play the corners in and the middle. I wouldn't even. I don't think I played
them. It wouldn't have mattered. They would have only got one out.
I don't play them back, but I play them just straight up.
It wouldn't have mattered. That would not have been a double play ball. It was hit too softly, but whatever. It's just.
Corners again would have been in anyway.
It's just this team has no. They have no chance. They have no chance. And it's also like they're lucky to have won the Wednesday game when. Gardner gets the bloop single. We talked about Glaber's base running.
Great at bat by Guardy, though. Great at bat by Guardy.
It was. But, like, why were they in that situation? Oh, because Glaber Torres made a boneheaded play in the field. When he knocks down a line drive, could have had the runner out at second base by a freaking mile and just ignores him and throws it to first base. It's like immediately Kay and Singleton are like, I have no clue what Glaber Torres was doing. Aaron Boone
didn't know what he
was doing. And after the game, Glaber Torres wasn't made available to the media. So we have no clue. He just forgets situational baseball and just makes stupid mistakes. Why is he on the field in the eighth inning of a one-run game? He needs off the field in the eighth inning of a one or two or three-run game. You cannot let Glaber Torres' awful defense and awful situational awareness beat you.
You're right. There's no excuse for him being out there. Boone was waiting for Tyler Wade to be able to pinch run.
Right, because he knew they would blow it and then they'd have to pinch run. But if you just put Tyler Wade in the game, it wouldn't have mattered. They wouldn't have needed that extra run.
Well, that's, you know, he's next level.
He's playing chess while everyone else is playing baseball.
Level. Yep. It's, you know, no, I mean, Glaber, the fundamentals, the simple things that you are taught as a child, even the dads that are coaching T-ball that have no idea what they're doing and they're just out there because they need a volunteer, they understand that the things that you tell these kids are react, don't think. React, don't think. Know where you're going before the play happens. This is something that is drilled into your brain from the second you pick up a glove and the second you pick up a baseball. And for whatever reason, Glaber Torres cannot do that. And, you know, I don't know why we have to continue to talk about him. Oh, I do know why. It's because Boone keeps putting him in the game and he's in situations where he can hurt us. That's why. Because Boone's an idiot.
He shouldn't even be starting, never mind playing in late innings. Just don't start him anymore. He's not worth it. It's not worth it this year. And another thing don't do. Stop pitching Chad Green in close games late. Three games in a row.
There's no one else to throw. I get that. Like, there's nobody. There's you can
anyone
throw
else.
Somebody else, I guess.
Anyone
but,
else.
But here's the problem. Every game is close. At some point, this guy is going to have to get in there and give up his home run.
The last three appearances, he has allowed a game tying or go ahead home run.
It seems
the
like
last
every
three
single time
appearances.
He pitches.
Well, it's been the last three, and he's allowed 14 home runs this year. 14 as a relief pitcher.
Not as just a relief pitcher, as a late inning relief pitcher, a guy that's supposed to close the game out or hold the game to the closer. That's his role. That's the guy. And he is just giving up bombs left and right. Were there whistles? Did you hear any whistles before that home run? No.
And I understand that if Gleyber Torres just makes the right play, he wouldn't have given up the home run. But it's three consecutive appearances he's allowed a game tying or a go ahead home run, and 14 home runs on the season. The dude just sucks.
I got no words for what Chad Green has become. I got no words for what Chad Green has become.
Unpitchable. That's what he's become. That's a word for it.
Fifth inning, sixth inning.
You say
maybe they need to convert him back to a starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's it. I got a DM from Jason. He's been a listener for a while, and he submits mailbag questions. And he said, he's thinking about how Girardi used to use Chad Green. He said, "Oh, Girardi used to use him for two innings, multiple days off.
They haven't done that since
2017. So I understand that we've talked about that before. Yes, that's when Chad Green was at his best. That's also when Chad Green was new in the league. No one had seen him. So that could have also been why he was so effective. But they haven't used him that way for the past four seasons. So let's stop thinking they're going to start using him that way again.
No, I mean, people evolve as players and as pitchers, and teams change. So they get melded into new roles. It happens with everybody, except for closers. Sometimes they get moved into closer roles. He is not the closer type. We have established that.
All right, I want to talk about the only two reliable starting pitchers that the Yankees have, Gerrit Cole and Jordan Montgomery. First, Gerrit Cole, he returned, quote, from his injury. He threw 108 pitches in five innings, allowing seven base runners. He didn't look sharp. Do you feel like Gerrit Cole has had a Cy Young season? Because he is in the fight. It's him and Robbie Ray who's going to win the American League Cy Young.
I mean, dude, nothing. You can't look at this team and go through what we all have gone through this year and put any accolades on anybody. To be honest, like it doesn't feel like a Cy Young year. It doesn't feel like an MVP year for anybody. It doesn't feel that way because the team is so unbelievably frustrating. It doesn't feel that way. The roller coaster takes those emotions away almost. So when you look at what Gerrit Cole has been, yeah, in moments he felt like that guy. He stopped a lot of times. He's also not shown up in sometimes. And when he's been hurt, and we see, you know,
COVID,
and like it's just hard to me to say that it feels sticky stuff. Exactly. It's hard for me to say that he feels like that guy. The first half, before that, in June,
before sticky stuff,
through July, through June, hell yeah, he was dominating.
I agree, but so I think he's got a good chance to win the Cy Young.
He's got a good chance to win it. Yeah,
he leads the American League in wins. So if you're an old school voter, he's got the American League title in wins. He leads in complete games, which is, I don't know, something people might like, and he leads in FIP. So he leads in an advanced metric as well. So he kind of checks all the boxes for all the voters. But then I look at, like, I kind of dive into his season. Before sticky stuff, two runs was the most he would allowed in any start.
Walked nobody.
No, but he didn't allow more than two runs in a game before the sticky stuff. Then sticky stuff happened. He allowed five or more runs in a game four different times. Okay?
Well, But when you look at what his control was in the first half, it shows you, like, to me, that's one of the biggest tells and why he was so goddamn good. Once Gerrit Cole is out of the zone and he's not peppering the zone and consistently throwing the ball wherever the hell he wants to, he becomes kind of a different guy and you have a different approach as a batter. When he's all over the plate, like, you got to do something, and you probably got to do something early in the count or you're screwed. So he had that going, and everybody who's stepping up understood that they had a very, very limited amount of time to do anything against Gerrit Cole. Once he started being more erratic, the walk started coming, he started, you know, pitching outside the zone, it was a different approach for the offense as well.
Yeah, and he had the complete game against Houston. Unbelievable game.
Nails.
Maybe my favorite game of the year, if I'm thinking about it. And then he had the 15 strikeout performance to what we thought was to end a little bit of a losing streak against Anaheim, which they just continued on that losing streak. But at the time, we thought that was a huge start. So he's had big moments. He had 2 months of being absolutely dominant. But then he also, in three starts against Boston, has a 5 ERA. And in four starts against Toronto, has a 5 ERA. The two teams you're battling for the wild card, he's pitched terribly against. So I don't feel like this has been a Cy Young season, even though there's a really good chance he's going to win the Cy Young this year.
It's ironic because the year that he didn't win it, he should have won it. And that felt like a Cy Young season when Verlander won. And yeah, you're right. I mean, again, it feels different, though, because of the way that the team is going as well. I mean, you look at what Judge is doing. He's putting up MVP type numbers. You go across
He'll
the league.
He'll finish top five. He'll finish top five.
Yeah, MVP. Like Vlad's up there, like no doubt. He's probably higher. And then of course Ohtani for what he's doing. He's going to win it. But yeah, Judge is up there. I mean, like he's had that type of season. And guess what? He's been healthy. Like
yeah,
he's been great.
Two X factors we thought at the beginning of the year, Judge and Stanton's health, the Yankees have actually managed to pretty much keep on the field, and this team has still been a dumpster fire.
I will say this. I outfielder Stanton is just so much of a better feeling for me. And yeah.
He contributes.
I don't have that like, oh God, feeling ever about him when he's in the field. Even when he's struggling. He's still out there. Like he's part of the team. He's doing things. He's not just like being hidden in the tunnel. And I like that guy. I like that guy a lot. That's the guy that we were supposed to be getting. So I hope this continues.
That's like, the guy we actually had in 2018. He played like 60 or I forget how many games he played in the outfield in 2018, but it was a significant amount. And that's what he should be doing for the next few years until he's truly just a DH. He's not just a DH right now. I think he's proven that this year.
Yeah, and his numbers, even when he's not playing in the field, they end up around the same place at the end of the year anyway. But there's a feeling. I'm talking about the eye test.
Because it's not a drain. It's not like he doesn't feel like a burden on the roster when he plays the outfield.
Right.
Jordan Montgomery has actually had a sneaky good season. He's just had no run support.
Wasn't that one of my bold predictions?
It was, yeah. Nice job. You're going to give me credit for saying that the bullpen was going to be bad this year?
No, because for the most of the year they were good, and they've
most of the year for the first half it was good. The second half has been an absolute trash bag fire.
They've also been dead to the world. They haven't been on the field, so it's a different. I mean, you're trying to get credit for a minor league squad or like a bunch of waiver wire people.
I said. Brian Cashman's moves are not going to work out for him. And they didn't. Justin Wilson didn't work out. Darren O'Day didn't work out.
So no, they didn't.
I just gave you credit. You can't give me credit. Like,
I'm sorry. Just because you gave me credit doesn't mean I have to give you credit back.
Well, I think
Wandy Peralta's kind of working out.
I think my prediction was pretty much true, just like your prediction was pretty much true.
That's fine. You can think that. I don't think that. I think mine was better. And Judge is having an MVP year, as I said.
Mine was bolder.
Keep going.
Jordan Montgomery has a 3.63 ERA. He pitched really good on Thursday, a season high in strikeouts. But again, like no run support for the guy. He for StatCast, he ranks favorably in average exit velocity, which is good, hard hit percentage, chase rate, whiff percentage, barrel percentage, K percentage. You know, he ranks below in some things, but some things that aren't necessarily important, like fastball velocity. Like, you don't have to have top echelon fastball velocity to be effective. And
no, you don't. I mean, that's, in fact, you're changing things up if you don't.
Yeah. Expected ERA, expected weighted on base average, expected slugging percentage, all those are, you know, about middle of the pack. But I mean, the overall point is no one ever thought Jordan Montgomery was going to be a number one pitcher. We thought he could be a quality middle of the rotation guy. And that's what he has been this year.
I've always thought Montgomery has like two upside, but he's a really solid three. And that's where I had him pegged. And yeah, that's kind of what he is. He's the guy that is in the middle of the week that's going to give you some length. You feel like you're, you know, have an opportunity to win the game. And yeah, I think he's progressed. That's the beautiful, the other thing from last year, looking at when he came back, you know, I wasn't worried about the performance necessarily or the results, not the performance, the results in the box score for him because he was just working himself back. This was a big year for him after, you know, coming back from surgery, already getting your feet wet. Like now was the time for him to start taking steps forward. And I think he's progressed well. So I'm looking forward to Jordan Montgomery moving forward as well. I think he's going to be a solid piece of this rotation for a while.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, I guess we can call that takeaways. And for look ahead, I don't know that we have five. We kind of threw out the Friday Fives format this week. But let's just talk about, I mean, there are some injury updates and some guys that might be coming back to help this pitching staff, mostly in the bullpen. Domingo Germán, Jonathan Loaisiga, Luis Severino could all, and Jameson Taillon actually, could all come back within the last 2 weeks of the season, and they were all likely be bullpen options. Obviously, Loaisiga was always a bullpen option, but Severino, because of his setbacks, is only a bullpen option. Germán, Boone said he could be activated this weekend, but limited to like 40, 45 pitches. So that's a bullpen option, or at the very most an opener. And Jameson Taillon still has not, I don't believe, according to Meredith, still doesn't have an actual timeline for return. So you don't have a timeline for return. It's September 17th. You're not going to work your way back to being a starting pitcher at that point.
No, but again, we discussed this, I feel, last week or the week before, whenever it was. It doesn't matter.
No.
If you're a starting pitcher, if you're a relief pitcher, you're a pitcher, and they're going to get through a game as they need to get through a game. I think the biggest thing, well, first of all, Loaisiga is starting to throw today, Friday, right? Today is the day. So, you know, I don't know how much he needs to get back. He's just starting to throw again today. So even him coming back for the last, you know, series of the season, I think is pushing it. The last week of the season's probably pushing it if he's just starting to ramp up again, depending on how long it takes him to get back up. But
they said they shut him down. They said he's no throwing for 10 days. It ended up being 11. It's all about if he feels pain. If he starts throwing again and feels soreness, he's not coming back. He's screwed. He probably is going to need surgery or something. Yeah. So this was all just give him time to hopefully recover. And then it doesn't matter if Loaisiga, I mean, I guess you need him as soon as possible because you need to win games. But if he feels any discomfort after throwing, he's done. He's screwed.
Yeah, so this my is point all is about, he's got to ramp back up a little bit to get just to get his, you know, the shoulder in,
okay,
in a good
so
place.
If he starts
hasn't thrown
throwing
in 2 weeks.
I know. If he throws today, the 17th, and feels good, I'd say over the next 5 to 7 days, he rehabs, and then he's back for the final stretch against Boston, Toronto.
He's not throwing from a mound. He's just throwing. He hasn't thrown
a
ball.
He's just a relief pitcher. He just needs to throw one inning. He needs to throw 14 pitches at a time.
I understand that, but he also has to execute those 14 pitches. Otherwise, we're talking about, you know,
at this point, though, you can't slow play it. You have to. You kind of have to.
They're going to ramp him up. I get that, but at the same time, they're not going to risk any injury with Jonathan Loaisiga. Bottom line, they're not. They're not going to risk him coming back too early in a relief appearance for a freaking toss up season. They're not going to. So I don't think they're going to push him along too fast. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm curious to see how long it takes him to ramp up. For me, when I'm looking at these other guys, Domingo Germán coming back on Saturday, potentially this weekend. Saturday feels like the day, right? You have Luis Gil going. Who knows what we're going to get from him? He's been very good. Last time he walked 19 people. So if that's the case.
That was two starts ago. Last time out was the Minnesota game where he gave up two run home runs in the first inning.
Yeah. So he's come back to earth a little bit, and I expect to see Germán in that game if he's around for the weekend. Like, that to me feels like the right thing. The biggest thing I'm looking forward to right now is probably Corey Kluber, because if the Yankees don't have another viable starting pitcher for this last stretch, they're in really, really, really big trouble.
What does it matter? You can't win a playoff series with only two starting pitchers.
I'm not even gonna,
and a bad bullpen.
Dude, we can't talk about playoff series right now. We have to talk about getting through the last 2 weeks of the season.
Well, you're not going to win. These are essentially playoff series. Okay, you play a three-game series against Boston and a three-game series against Toronto. You have to win those series if you're going to make the playoffs.
Right.
And you cannot win those series with two starting pitchers and a bad bullpen.
Yeah, I that's exactly what I'm saying. My point is we can't look to the playoffs yet because we have to get through this last stretch.
The playoffs have started, okay? They are in the playoffs. They just played a playoff game against Baltimore last night, and they lost because of a wild pitch.
The New York Yankees need Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber, in the beginning of this year, we all saw what he was for the first couple months, and he was like, you know, reprogramming, getting back to like level. Getting back to the norm so that he can start, like, you know, actually being effective. We need Corey Kluber at this point. He's done that for a few starts now. He's like tinkered and tried things out and tested, and he's done all the things that he needs to do. He now needs to start trying, and we need to see the guy that went out there and threw a no-hitter. We need the guy that is out there going 6-7 innings that came out of absolutely nowhere. We're like, holy shit, Corey Kluber, is he back? That's the guy that we need. Right now. We need that right now. Because if we don't have that, the Yankees are in trouble.
I agree. Did you see Boone's postgame yesterday?
No, I have stopped watching Boone. If you are watching Boone's postgame still to this point of the season, I tweeted this a week ago. You're a masochist. You have something wrong with you. Stop it.
Well, I just watched the minute clip on the MLB app. Boone spent, I think it was a minute 30 clip. He spent a minute 18 of the minute 30 talking about how he was proud of the guys for having good at-bats. They just got a little unlucky.
When was this?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay, whatever.
I follow
Twitter, and I know what he says because I see people complaining about it, or I see the tiny little clips of him. And
I know
he's been throwing guys under the bus recently. He's like blaming people. He's talking about I don't even know what to get from him anymore. He was asked if Gleyber dogging it on a particular play was not acceptable or one of the reasons. And, you know, he's being honest in that way. But then he goes back out there and plays because there's no accountability on this team after like a short little that. If he thinks that was accountability, that was just good managing because his defense is trash.
Well, then why didn't he do it the next night?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Probably because he was afraid that he hurt his feelings. And you can't have Gleyber Torres, we've learned, is a baby. And if you hurt his feelings, he plays even worse.
Gleyber Torres is about to have a baby. He announced that they're having
he is far too young to have a baby. Isn't he like 23 years old?
Yeah, people have kids young. People have kids young.
As not someone who on the just same had track. A baby and is 33
he's also a Major League
old.
Baseball player. Not everybody's on the same track. Well, that's in quotes, a Major League Baseball player in quotes.
I think you have to move on from Gleyber Torres at this point. That's how bad he's become. I don't know that he will be able to rebound as a New York Yankee because I think he's mentally weak, just like Clint Frazier's mentally weak. And that's why if things don't go Clint Frazier's way, he just completely cowers. And I think the same thing for Gleyber Torres. So I think he is probably a lost cause for the Yankees.
I'm not there yet, but because it's really hard for me to not see the talent that exists somewhere deep in the soul of a person. I had the same problem with Michael Pineda. I had the same problem with who else did Nathan I have the same Evaldi. Problem? Sonny freaking Gray. I had a freaking problem with that was
Evaldi.
That one really hurt me. Evaldi, which was there the whole time.
You're right that Gleyber Torres has the talent. He was not only a top prospect, but he hit 38 home runs in the major leagues and was an all-star.
It's really hard for me to give up on those people.
We are now basically the same sample size of him being bad as we had of him being good.
Can I tell you why also it's hard for me to give up on a particular player? And look, this is not me saying it's not the player's fault. It is the player's fault. These are professional athletes. They need to be able to get better. But you know what? They need a leader of men to help them get better as well. They need a leader of men to be in there and to be the foundational rock that a manager should be and to put his guys in positions to succeed. And they just haven't had that. And I know, again, I am not giving any pass to any player here, but my God, have they had a dog shit manager for now, you know, the duration. I mean, he didn't feel like that in the beginning because I think the talent was there and just like took over, but he's exposed. He's been exposed. And unfortunately, it doesn't make a bad situation any better. It makes a bad situation so much worse. And in fact, it actually helps create that bad situation because of the lack of preparation and the mindset that these guys have been put in from day one. And it just pisses me off. It pisses me off. It's like a kid that has all the talent that has a teacher that doesn't care.
The owner gave the manager a pass.
Everybody gives everybody a pass. Participation ribbons across the board here.
Are you at least proud of Boone for pinch running Tyler Wade on Wednesday before a pitch was thrown to the batter?
No, because he didn't do anything. Run.
But he did.
He did steal third.
He pinch
which
ran,
you know was a Tyler Wade decision, not an Aaron Boone decision.
But he pinch ran him before the batter saw a pitch, which I thought was improvement.
That's because somebody got in his ear the before the previous at bat was over. That's why.
Yeah. All right. That's it for today's episode. Weekend series against the Cleveland baseball organization.
Not a we'll terrible see. Organization. Like they're close to 500. They can win games. They have some pitching. They have some pop. They could be a problem, especially for a bad pitching baseball team.
Dude,
the Yankees Orioles, just have to score runs. Like at the end of the day, bottom line, the Yankees
any
have to put a
team,
ton of runs up.
Any team's a problem for the Yankees. The Orioles, who are on a like 107
loss. It's not the other team
loss.
It's the problem. It's the Yankees that are the
That's
problem.
That's why
they're
their
problem.
Own problem.
Yeah.
They're their own worst enemy. Okay. Talk to
Scorched
you
Earth. That's the way that they get into the playoffs. Scorched Earth offense. That's how.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium?
Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.